Welcome to the Functional Alignment Show, where I aim to functionally bring alignment into all aspects of your life. This show is a valuable resource for individuals seeking to optimize their health and well-being. Specializing in the fields of functional medicine, chiropractic, nutrition, and holistic wellness, this podcast is hosted by myself, Abby Borkowski, also known as Apples Eats on Instagram. The goal of this show is to offer insightful discussions and practical advice on achieving optimal health through a holistic approach. From addressing the root causes of stubborn health issues to exploring the latest research in functional medicine, this podcast offers a wide range of topics to empower listeners with the knowledge and tools to take control of their health. If you are ready to become functionally aligned, keep listening.
Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast. Today's episode, we are going to talk about the importance of protein and just everything surrounding that. On all social medias, I feel like the craze recently over the past year has been like protein, protein, protein. I don't know if that's just what the algorithm is doing to my page, but I feel like even I've heard people tell me that all they've been seeing is like the importance of protein and how to get more in and everything like that. So I think this episode is going to be beneficial to kind of clear the air as to why we're seeing such a protein forward movement recently. And I don't think this is, well, I know this isn't a fad. It's the fundamentals of macros and breaking down food for the body and the importance of protein. I think protein is finally getting its time that it should. I hope this doesn't go away because I really believe that protein is the foundation that people need to understand and build their foods around. Where the food pyramid that we were taught when we were kids, I would say. Like, I remember sitting in gym class and being taught this food pyramid that the base was refined carbohydrates, pastas, breads, and then it was, you know, your vegetables, your fruits, and then it was your protein. Where I really believe the protein and the vegetables should be like equivalent to the base. And then we should have the last thing be the refined carbohydrates, because I just think the whole food pyramid got it wrong. And I know that it's been kind of debunked, but I just wanted to start out with kind of rephrasing how important protein is. It's satiating. It helps your mitochondria. It helps muscle. It helps, it helps with not getting osteopenia or osteoporosis, helps bone health. It helps so many different things within the body, good kidney function, liver function, all of that. And protein really is the key factor to every single mechanism within the body, I believe. So this is why I wanted to talk about this today. And I've seen it within myself, just like I feel stronger, more like mentally clear whenever, more satiated throughout the day. My blood sugar is all stable when I really focus on getting protein. So I wanted to start out with some kind of like, not facts, but more so, you may hear a lot of different things out there. And I just want to clear up in the air, like, this is what I believe. This is what the research that I look at says. So this is, take that with, a grain of salt. But what I'm going to be going through, the first part is that we are not eating enough protein as a society. And I believe that that's because in the past we've been taught that, you know, red meat is correlated to cardiovascular disease. It's correlated to cancers. And these studies that they're looking at, the factors, there's so many things wrong with these studies that they're blaming and demonizing red meat for, when we're not looking at the whole benefits of it. However, I do want to preface that the only red meat I am consuming I make sure that it is grass-fed and finished. I try to buy from a local farm that I know if I can. However, if not, I go for the Aldi's brand. It's $4.99 a pound, which you can't beat. It's grass-fed. I know it's not going to be truly grass-fed and grass-finished, but right now in my life, that works for me, and I think that that's a great way to start and to be conscious of this. But I really just wanted to kind of debunk that. No, don't eat red meat every day, but incorporating it a couple times a week is going to be so great for the body. The amino acid content in it is going to be so helpful with sleep recovery, getting creatine, all of the essentials that the body really needs. So we should be aiming to get 1 gram of protein per ideal body weight, not for your body weight, but for your ideal body weight. So say you weigh 200 pounds and your ideal body weight is 170 pounds that you want to be, you should be aiming to eat 170 grams of protein a day. And I think that the best way to do this personally for me was to buy a scale on Amazon. I can link a scale in the show notes. They're super cheap. They're like $10. Using a scale to, you know, understand the portions of how much 5 grams of chicken or 5 ounces of chicken is compared to what I thought 5 ounces of chicken was a huge game changer for me. I was definitely under eating in aspects of getting in enough protein. And when I was tracking this through my MyFitnessPal, I use a food tracker to not track really my calories, but to track my macros and make sure I'm hitting my protein goal each day. So I base my meals, my breakfast, my lunch, my dinner off of aiming to get in over 30 grams of protein. And MyFitnessPal has really helped with that, along with using a scale. So I think that using that can really be beneficial to understand how much we should be eating more in protein. And I know we're always, as a society, we're taught, like, you know, 2 eggs is plenty. At least that's how I was grown up, was 2 eggs is plenty, like blah, blah, blah. And I do not agree with that now. There's only 6 grams of protein in 1 egg. We should be eating at least 3 eggs if we're going to be having eggs. 3 eggs is still only 18 grams of protein. So I can't really do more than 3 eggs personally. They kind of, after that, it just, you know, the egg it gets to me. But I'll do 3 eggs and I'll add in these clean breakfast sausages that I get from Aldi's. And adding in 2 breakfast sausages with 3 eggs, I get more than my 30 grams of protein then. Or adding in, you know, ground beef and eggs or something like that. Just really aiming to get more than 12 grams of protein in, so that you are satiated, your blood sugar is controlled. There are studies that were done that looked at how the first meal of the day, if you aim to get in 30 grams of protein in that first meal of the day, you are more satiated and you are less likely to binge eat or snack on these hyperpalatable foods that our body sees and they're addicting to the body because it's sugar processed foods. So if you eat a protein rich forward breakfast, aiming to eat 30 grams or more, that will help you be satiated throughout the day so that your snackings and cravings are decreased. And the study did show a clinically significant outcome in this measure, that eating a protein rich forward breakfast, first meal of the day, that your blood sugar is more controlled, your cravings are lessened, and it does a number for the body. It's great mentally, physically. I can't say enough about it. It's really been helpful for me to kind of understand that, you know, just eating for satiety and eating to feel stronger and healthier is really important. And I'm just thankful that it was kind of scary at first to just dive into increasing like the food intake and eating more protein and trying to find ways to get it in. But once you do it for so long, you understand you're able to recognize food portions and how much protein you should be eating, how much meat you should be eating. And it really just, it helps to be more aware in situations, I believe. So the next thing that I want to talk about is that some ways that you can add in extra protein that you may not think about. So for me, I've noticed that when I make rice is super easy to digest for the body, and it's a great carbohydrate source, and it's easy to cook too. However, I make it with bone broth. A cup of bone broth has 9 grams of protein in it. So I will cook the rice in bone broth, and I find that that is an easy way to make the rice more digestible, make it more satiating. It's not a lot of protein that's added, but it's a little bit here and there. And it's kind of just, you know, if you do the little things, it accumulates and it helps the bigger picture. Another thing is that I suggest to buy plain Greek yogurt. Greek yogurt has more protein in it than regular yogurt. So a serving of Greek yogurt has about 15 grams of protein, and a just plain yogurt, I believe, has around like 8 grams of protein. So that's why I really suggest to aim more for Greek yogurt. Try and get plain so you're not getting additive sugars or fillers like that. And then I suggest to mix in things to make the bowl sweeter if you would like. So if you have a natural honey, if you have a pure maple syrup, I suggest using those as sweeteners for it. I'll add some like clusters, these organic keto clusters that I get from Aldi's. I'll throw that in there to sweeten it up, add some berries, real fruit. But now that I'm on my Ninja Creamy kick, I turn this into my frozen yogurt bowl. So I feel like I have to have a whole nother podcast to talk about this Ninja Creamy, because it's kind of life-changing and it deserves more than just 5 seconds. But the next thing is that I want to talk about how creatine and collagen. So creatine and collagen they're not complete proteins. Collagen is not a complete protein. It is missing some amino acids, and therefore if people like you'll see on social media as people pouring their collagen into their coffees, making a collagen coffee, which I believe is very beneficial. However, it is not a substitute for protein. It can help with skin, nails, hair growth, but it's not a complete source. So I just wanted to make that clear. It is beneficial, but it is not a complete source of protein. Whereas creatine is mostly found in like dense, like red meats. However, 5 grams daily is what is needed to be shown for cognitive and recovery benefits for mind, muscle, all of that. There's a lot of myths out there about creatine also, and how like it can create like water retention and everything like that. However, I've been taking it for probably a year now, and I haven't noticed, like, maybe at first when I first started taking it a little bit, but after my body got used to it and my system, became like adapted to it and everything, it definitely got more comfortable, and I see the benefits of it. My sleep has improved also, I believe, from it. So I believe that everybody should be taking 5 grams of protein or of creatine a day. Again, I use my scale for this because it's easy to just measure out 5 grams of it. I noticed that like the little scoop that they give within the powder actually is like not accurate for 5 grams until I started measuring it. So I found that to be interesting as well. And then I wanted to talk about how vegan protein versus animal protein. So we could say plant protein, which would be a vegan diet, versus animal protein, which is just, I would say, like you're just eating animal protein with, so think of like a Mediterranean diet or something like that. I find this to be very interesting because we talk about how protein is satiating, it's helpful for the body, for recovery, for so many different factors. It has so many different, like there's a bunch of coenzymes and all of that to help with bodily functions. However, vegan protein, so you'll hear like quinoa is a good source of protein in like vegan diets and everything. However, it would take you to eat, I believe, I'm gonna mess up these numbers, but anywhere from like 2 to 4 cups of quinoa to get just as much protein in as it would to eat like a 5 ounce piece of chicken, which is one serving. A 5 ounce piece of chicken has like 250 calories in it, whereas I would assume 2 to 4 cups of quinoa, you're reaching anywhere into like 800, 1,000 calories. And that is just a great little description that you have to eat 5 times as much of a food for a vegan diet to get in the amount of protein that you would be getting in if you were to eat animal-based proteins. I understand people are on a vegan vegetarian diet for ethical reasons. However, I really think that it is important to reassess and understand the benefits of animal protein, whether it be fish, poultry, eggs, red meat, just the importance of having that for the body and so that your cells can function properly, your mitochondria can function, you're giving your brain and your body what it needs, especially around your fertile years. It is so important to be giving your body what it needs. Again, you need to be getting in, if you weigh 150 pounds, and that's your ideal body weight is 150 pounds, you need to be eating 150 grams of protein a day so that your body can function properly. I aim to get in anywhere from 150 to 160 grams of protein a day, and I just don't think that that is obtainable on a vegan diet. I think that you're going to be over consuming calories, and you're going to have too much saturated carbohydrate and fat macros compared to your protein macros. And I think in the long run, that can do more damage than good. So I just wanted to preface that. I think if you're doing a vegan diet or vegetarian diet, you really, really, really have to, you should be talking with a nutritionist, a dietitian, about how to properly incorporate foods that can fill the protein needs for the body. So I'm not against it. I think that you should be working with a provider to help with how to improve your protein consumption and to make sure that you're doing it so that your body is, you know, recovering well, it's rested, it's able to deal with stress, and you're able to be happy and healthy within your body. Lastly, about protein that I wanted to talk about, I could go on forever about the importance of it, but I recently listened to the Andrew Huberman podcast he was interviewing Dr. Gabrielle Lyons, and they went and talked about all about muscle and protein, and this is where I kind of got my interest to do this episode, I would say. That episode was 3 hours long, but it was really filled with a lot of information. And one thing that I took away from it that I found to be very, very interesting is that when you age, you have a loss of muscle mass called sarcopenia. You may or may have not heard this term, but it's basically when we have more breakdown of tissues as we get older, which is, you know, why our metabolism slows down. We have our immune system is not as resilient, so we are more prone to infections, immune stressors, you name it. We get more frail because we lose our muscle as we get older. However, to keep on the muscle, when as we get older, we have to resistance train and we have to eat more protein than you would need right now to keep this ideal body, like the muscle on the body at a younger age. So you have to eat like double the amount of protein or some, like that's what they were saying in the podcast, as you age and you get older, which I feel like just observing the older community and being around my grandparents and everything, I feel like people eat less protein the older you get as to opposed when you're younger. And I really think that we need to be eating more because it really does make sense. Like that's why sarcopenia and osteoporosis come on so aggressively as we age, because we are not eating nearly as much as we used to. And in order to keep up with our metabolism and keep that high and keep muscle in the body, we really need to be prioritizing resistance training, lifting weights, and eating good sources, clean protein, along with eating enough of it. So like I said, I think we need to be aiming to really try to eat 1 gram of protein per ideal body weight. I suggest using a scale to measure it at first and get the hang of it, understand and be able to picking out a portion of what 5 ounces of chicken is versus 6 ounces of steak and everything like that. It really helps just to be able to be aware and be cognizant of everything that you're consuming. So you know you're not like under consuming protein. Again, because that can lead to a lot of like depletion in nutrients and everything like that. So we also talked about how we need to be, like there's some tips that you can add in more protein here and there, whether it be adding in bone broth to rice, adding in like whey protein to Greek yogurt to really increase that snack or that dessert or that meal. If you're eating oats, add in whey protein to the oats. You're increasing the protein in that carbohydrate-rich meal. We talked about how collagen is not a complete protein and how we should be consuming 5 grams of creatine a day. And then we also talked about how the difference between plant protein versus animal protein, and how if you were to be on a plant-based diet, you would have to be consuming 5 times more of that food, most likely to be getting the same amount of protein as an animal-based diet would be consuming. So that is something to be cognizant of in the future if you were to ever be interested in trying to eat more of a vegetarian or vegan diet. And then we talked about how if you are vegetarian or vegan, you really should be working with a provider to make sure that you are getting, again, 1 gram of protein per ideal body weight and how you can navigate that. And then lastly, we talked about how as you get older, you're more prone to sarcopenia and osteoporosis, so the loss of muscle and bone. And how to navigate that is through resistance training and eating protein. Again, 1 gram per ideal body weight. And I cannot stress that enough. I probably said that 100 times in this podcast, but we talked about that. We talked about debunking how red meat's bad for you. Eat the red meat. Make sure it's good quality, though. Support local farms. And we also debunked how the food pyramid that we grew up in was totally wrong. Protein and vegetables should be the base, and then refined carbohydrates should be, you shouldn't even be eating refined carbohydrates. It should be, potatoes, sweet potatoes, squashes, rice, homemade sourdough, all of that good carbohydrates. And I think that's all I have, but this topic has been, I've brought it into my lifestyle the past year, and it was difficult at first, but I really believe that tracking and being aware of what you're eating and how many grams of protein you're actually getting in is something that is very humbling. When I first started to track, I was probably getting in around like anywhere from 80 to 100 grams of protein, and I really noticed like, wow, that is not enough for my ideal body weight and how much I am, training and lifting and working out and being a full-time student. So that was huge for me to be able to switch that. Again, it took a long time to kind of I would say like bring it into my lifestyle and be consistent with it. But now through the use of using the scale and the my MyFitnessPal app, I've don't really need even need to like track my food or anything anymore because I've understood what a good portion, like how I can get 40 grams of protein in from chicken, or how I can get, 35 grams in from grass-fed beef and steak and all of that. So that's all I have today. But if you would rate this podcast, share it. I think this could be super beneficial to anybody of any age. And again, thank you for listening.